This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Texans back at practice today. Say it every week. Keep an eye on that injury report. We'll see. One guy that will not be on the injury report, but he will not be with the team for the next few weeks, is Azeez Al-Shaair. We've heard everybody's opinion on Azeez Al-Shaair. I'm not playing this audio with an attempt to rehash sliding and does the league need to change the rules and is Azeez a dirty murderer and all these other things.
Did Azeez indeed bury 10 people alive?
Right.
This is the on the pure nuts and bolts side of things.
Yes.
How do you move forward without Azeez for the next 3 weeks?
And I think Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee yesterday, because they talked about it on the McAfee show. I guess this was Rodgers' first chance to weigh in on what has been the most crucial hit in the history of the NFL, evidently, over the last week or so. Aaron Rodgers did illustrate something when I'm listening to him here where I go, oh, yeah, that's right. The Texans aren't going to have that over the next 3 weeks. Take a listen.
I don't think that Azeez is a dirty player. And you look at his, his rap sheet of fines in the league. It's not like we're talking about some... when late hit, fighting, face mask, roughing the passer, I don't think that's egregious of any nature. Now, he's a thumper, though. I mean, he can really hit. If you ever watch him on film, you're like, that dude,
awesome.
If I'm watching film, and luckily he didn't play when we played the Texans, but if I was out, I would know where he's number zero, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I would know where zero's at, and I wouldn't. I don't think I'd be worried about a late slide there. I would slide with plenty of time because he's a talented player.
Okay, it was really interesting to hear Aaron Rodgers say that last part there. Like, I got to know where zero is, and that kill zone. The kill zone got a little less killy with Azeez Al-Shaair out over the next few days.
Yeah, the whole now like Neville Hewitt, he can hit really well,
sure.
But it's just he's not as good of a two-way pass coverage and run player, and he's not not as capable of being as sideline to sideline as a guy like Azeez Al-Shaair or Christian Harris. So, and Christian, you get back a lot of athleticism, and we'll see how much he can actually play. But he's not quite, he doesn't necessarily, he's not a hitter the way that Azeez is. Azeez is up in the top 3 percentile of NFL hitters, I think, after watching him for a season.
It was really funny to watch that video of Aaron Rodgers talking to McAfee and AJ Hawk about Azeez, because when Aaron Rodgers, hey Ben, can you cue it back up again real quick here and just hit play on it? When Aaron Rodgers says Azeez isn't a dirty player, that's when, if you can visualize this, that's when the producers of McAfee fired up the list of all the fines that Azeez has gotten. And you listen to, and Aaron's reading off of the list. That's why he's citing all those.
Yeah.
But you can almost hear it in Aaron's voice like, okay, he's not a dirty player, but boy, he sure... You can almost hear him thinking it like, boy, he sure does get fined a lot. Just like, I want to listen one more time.
I don't think that Azeez is a dirty player. And you look at his, his rap sheet of fines in the league. It's not like we're talking about some, it's not
boom,
like
they fire it up, right?
Late hit, fighting, face mask, roughing the passer.
I mean, that's
roughing the passer though. Roughing the passer
borderline.
These days. No, but even when you rough the passer these days, it's rarely the passer, not the running QB.
I agree. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, after when he got to fighting, that's
yeah,
where I'm
yeah,
like,
the fighting part was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but but the thing with Aziz is
I fight with my family all the time.
These are fights on the sideline. It's a whole different scenario. Usually doesn't involve
surrounded.
The quarterback whatsoever,
yes.
You know?
They tried
Caleb Williams wasn't in the middle of that melee.
They tried to Cobra Kai him on the sidelines. They surrounded him in skeleton outfits and started crane kicking him, yes.
So Rodgers mentioned that the you know, Aziz didn't play in the Jets game. The three games that Aziz missed were the Green Bay game, where I thought that Hansen and Hewitt did a really good job.
Hewitt was great. Pick.
I think more than I expected.
Yes.
You know, and it wasn't the defensive effort that was a big issue in that game. So the Green Bay Packers, the Texans allowed 24 points. Colts, the Texans allowed 20 points. The Jets, the Texans allowed 21 points, but it's the freaking Jets.
Well, and it's the way they allowed the 21, right? I mean, they shut them out for the first half, and then they just marched through you
right
in the second half. Like, you literally didn't stop. The only time they got stopped in the second half was to take a knee to end the game. That was it.
But those are two games where conceivably you could say, all right, maybe Aziz would have made a big difference out there, especially the Jets in the second half. The Packers was a two-point margin. Very, very possible that, it's not crazy to think that Aziz would have made a big difference in those games. And that's where it's you're going to play the Chiefs in two games, and that's a team that wins by typically about 3 points.
Yes.
No matter who you are.
If that.
You're either the best team in the league or the worst. The Chiefs are going to beat you by 3 points. Yeah, Aziz could have made a huge difference in those games.
Someone on the text page, Aziz knows what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. We were joking about burying bodies, okay?
If we're going to paint Aziz as the worst person who ever lived. Aziz allowed Michael Strahan to sack him, breaking Mark Gastineau's record. That was what Aziz...
oh, we'll get
Aziz
to that.
Aziz is guilty of that, too.
We'll get to that. Brett Favre. All right,
That's how evil Aziz is.
Who needs to step up their kill zone game in this thing? How do you make up for the lack of kill zone the Aziz factor in this?
My biggest who's going to carry the mantle of
borderline
this guy just
dirty play
somebody?
Yes,
in a borderline fashion.
Borderline,
he's
going to
get off on a negligent homicide.
Not dirty, borderline. Yeah,
I don't want to be a murderous defense. I want to be a negligent homicide defense.
There
manslaughter. I was reading some case the other day where somebody was like, I didn't realize a lesser charge than manslaughter was negligent homicide, at least in the state this person was. Okay. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Don't ask me. I know it varies state by state. But,
all right. Well,
anyway.
Who are negligently homicidic?
My dream would be that Jalen Petrie comes back and plays.
Oh, yeah. And that we don't know. And that his music hits and he runs out right before the game starts.
Negligently homicides somebody.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And like, Jalen, the game hasn't even started yet. Like, oh, crap. Sorry.
Hey, lawyers, weigh in on the text line whether I read that wrong about negligent homicide or not.
Yes.
Henry Toa-Toa, the problem with Henry Toa-Toa is
kills
that
his own people.
He negligently homicides everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what jersey they're wearing.
If he can focus on just the opposite color.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We don't have any color rush games coming up, right?
Not that I know
We're
of,
just,
no.
We need it to...
I think the Ravens game is an alternate uniform game, at least.
So can both teams wear dark colors
if
they're different enough on that? I worry that Henry just sees enough. I think he might be colorblind.
Yeah.
Which kudos to you if it means you're not racist. But on the jersey color side of things, you got to stop being jersey colorblind.
Yes.
You can't be whacking a guy per week as
guy.
Of these last several weeks from your own team.
No.
But Henry Toa-Toa, I think, has that capacity.
Well, for
Jimmy
sure.
Ward,
yes.
We know.
Yeah.
And Jimmy suffers from that same malady that Henry does, which
own.
Is he wants to hit anything that moves.
Yes.
They're like flamethrowers.
Hey.
Lots of damage, but not that. Yeah, it's hard to control exactly where it hits.
And Jimmy will do it in practice. He'll do it.
Yeah,
like Henry's doing it in games. Jimmy's like, hey, Dalton, you're coming over the middle. You're going to get some now.
I was going through it in my head, and I'm like, man, these guys actually, they got a lot of thumpers on this defense.
Yeah.
I'm not worried that, they're not going to be a hard-hitting defense without him. The biggest thing really over these next 3 weeks is the play of the safeties.
Yeah.
And that's where Jalen Petrie coming back, if Jimmy Ward can stay healthy. is kind of a big deal. I was going over this with Texans Cap yesterday because I had said during the show yesterday that, man, this defense on a down-by-down basis is one of the very best in the leagues, but they just let up too many big plays at times. And it's not like it's a scourge of big plays, but they're just in the worst possible moments of games. They're allowing big plays. So Texans Cap did the research. The Texans allow explosive plays depending on, I think his was like 20 plus yards.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 15 plus yards. They're a little bit above the league average in number of explosive plays allowed, but when we went into super explosive plays, that's where the Texans are like a league leader, 30 plus yards. And that matches the eyeball test.
Yes,
they've just had too many backbreaking errors where mental errors, usually with super explosive plays, it's a mental error or just not playing your technique quite right in the defensive backfield. Those are the things that have hurt them.
That's the defensive equivalent of what's going on the offensive line at times with this team, in my opinion, right? Like you look at the offensive line, Caserio even said it in his interview with John and Mark, and we're going to be playing some of that today on the show. D'Amico has said it. We're like, the offensive line's playing better. Like, play to play, they're playing better. But the problem is the bad plays are really bad. Particularly when they were at their worst in that week 7, 8, 9 stretch where they were giving up pressure, literally every other drop back, they're giving up pressure. But now it's gotten a little bit better. But that, to me, what you're describing on defense, Seth, is the equivalent of what's going on offense. Like, yeah, you can play great 90% of the plays, but when the 10% are so bad,
right?
The 10% on offense are getting CJ murdered. The 10% on defense are giving up touchdowns or chunk plays to bad offenses.
That's and kudos to Texans Cap. Great follow on X at Texans Cap.
Yep.
They have the Texans defense has allowed the sixth most 30 plus yard gains.
Yeah.
So they've allowed 21 on the season. New Orleans has the most in the league at 27. And I think that's it's one of the things that's keeping this Texans defense from being genuinely elite.
Agreed.
If you dial back, and if you get on the level of, like, say, the Texans have allowed 21 of those super explosive plays, whereas Buffalo has allowed 9 total.
Yeah.
They've allowed the least in the league. Like, that's a big difference on in those key games where those big chunks have come.
It sounds like you've got the list in front of you of the teams. Who? New Orleans, you said the Texans are 6, New Orleans is 1. Who are the other teams?
So it goes New Orleans, Cleveland.
Yep, bad.
Giants.
Bad team.
Rams.
Average team.
Tampa.
Average team. Yeah.
NFC South.
Yep.
Texans in the AFC South. Then Dallas, bad defense.
Yep.
Houston.
Yep.
Then you go to Jacksonville.
Bad.
Horrendous defense.
Yeah.
You go to Las Vegas. You go to the Jets. You go to then Detroit, actually. Okay, so Detroit might be the best one. Detroit's got 18 and the Texans have 21. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Except
the only problem is that Detroit also has an incredible offense on the other side of them.
They've given up 18 on defense. They've generated 75 of them on offense.
It feels like the Detroit defense might just every now and then be like,
right,
whatever.
Right. The difference.
We're up by 21.
We're up 52-6. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Man, a lot to get into today, man. This Belichick thing. Caserio, we'll play the audio a little later. Casario's the first guy to come out, former co-worker of Belichick's in New England, and like entertain the idea of him being the North Carolina coach. You know,
talked
I mean?
About the positives.
Well,
all the former players are kind of like Belichick with college kids.
Every single one.
Hell no! What the hell are you talking about?
The best of the recruiting memes that are going around on social media with pictures of Belichick with his girlfriend, his 24-year-old girlfriend. Like, who's worried about Belichick recruiting?
That's true. He recruited. He can speak. He can. Now she's like a philosophy major.
Yeah, I don't know that the philosophy thing's gonna ring.
She might be a little deeper than your average 17-year-old high school
football
recruit.
Player. Yes. Yeah.
We're not gonna we'll connect. Well, talking about Descartes, I don't know.
Right. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. We got headlines coming up next. Texans back at practice. Big contract dropped in MLB yesterday that affects the Astros big time. They've announced who the talent is going to be on the Netflix broadcasts for Christmas Day. So this affects some of you who won't be at the game. So we've got that and a whole lot more going on in headlines coming up next.